Today's podcast is brought to you by the letter P.
For baby. But hey, everybody. This is the Ameri Junkies podcast. Today we're going to be talking about our trip to PAX East and other games on the horizon. Let's go.
And hey guys, back. It's your boy Foggy Live 215.
Look at us. It's my line. You're not Soggy Live 215. I'm so.
I thought you were going to say, that is not your slogan, bitch.
Horrible. Hi, everybody. This is the Ameri Junkies. Of course, starting all the way over on the far right, is the biggest boss, the comic boss.
Hey guys, it's your favorite podcast, the favorite podcaster, aka Lord Otaku, aka the greatest gaming engine that has ever lived.
That's two.
That's strike two.
Meanwhile, from the darkest corners of the darkest corners of the web, a demon approaches. Filled with alcohol, angst, and fuckery. Say hello, Demon Engine.
It's more like pot, angst, and fuckery. But hello.
Hello.
Anyone and still here with alcohol is you, Salty.
Goddamn right.
That is a street fact. Everybody out there in the world.
And, of course, I'm Salty Live 2 and 5. Now, we just came back from Boston, from PAX East, where we had an amazing time. But while we're sitting here getting things together, a lot of other stuff has been going on in the video game world. Like, what, just last week we heard about Ubisoft pulling out of E3, then Sonic pulling out of E3, and then E3 pulling out of E3.
I called it, dog. I called it during the pandemic when they had to cancel it, and we started seeing people like Activision and them doing their own small cons. I said, E3 is about to get crushed. Because now that everybody realizing that they don't got to put up $100,000, $200,000 for a booth at E3, when they could spend $50,000. Rent out a hall and only call press like us.
It's wild, and I can't even be mad at them if we're being honest,
right?
Because as I said on the Geek Report, I mean, we still have events going off around the world with PAX alone,
right?
And PAX has done some big reveals over its over the years. Just a few years ago, it had its first super big one with the trailer reveal of Borderlands 3.
And that is happening more and more now, too. So if you're not a lucky person to get tickets to E3, you got to be pressed. It's a few people and pressed. So the people who want to see the big reveals are not even able to see it. Unless you're watching a stream online. But anybody could go to PAX and you catch the big reveals there now. You could go to Otakon. You could go to Gamescom. You know, Gamescom over in Germany. You could go to C2E2 that just happened this weekend in Chicago. So, like, you know, these publishers are now bringing their games to the masses.
Yeah, because I think at the end of the day, I think the those other cons are probably cheaper to set up their displays in comparison.
Right. Like I said, like, can't imagine.
Honestly, I just E3, all E3 really was just a chance for, you know, some indie games to show what they got. But
very few indie games.
But indie games are wrecking it at the other conventions.
I'm saying, yeah. It was mostly E3 was a few indie games that were there, but it was mostly for the big ones to sit there and swing their dicks around. But everybody, they got tired of that. Why spend my all this money to go here, swing my dick around when I can just have this set up here, stream me swinging my dick around?
But I don't think E3 is going to go without a fight because that's so much money
that comes into
that comes into that city.
How many? What, we haven't had an E3 since 2019?
2019, well, you are correct, sir.
You talk about don't think they're going to go down without a fight. Right now, it's looking like they're getting a fight back treatment.
Pretty much. I mean, first off, here was my thing, because at first I was positive about it. Because Ubisoft pulling out, that didn't surprise me. A lot of fucked up shit's going on at Ubisoft. They had to delay this damn pirate game again. They're not sure about which Assassin's Creed they're going to put out next.
I wasn't too concerned when Ubisoft pulled out. Ubisoft ain't been right since Assassin's Creed 3.
I'll say they started falling off. I'm gonna say Odyssey, because Odyssey's not even an assassin. Like, there's nothing assassin like in Odyssey.
It started off with 3. They've been in the decline since 3.
Black Flag was the last great Assassin's Creed game. Assassin's Creed
Origin was good.
Origin was good. Odyssey was good too. They were great action games. This was an assassin game.
And the one with the Vikings, I'm like, there's nothing stealthy about Vikings.
Not a single
Vikings. First of all, they
murder, pillage, and leave.
Vikings like what I do, what I like to call heavy stealth.
What's heavy stealth?
What's heavy stuff? So you got stealth. Sneaking around, taking out who's needed so you don't get caught, but ultimately to get to your final objective.
Right.
Heavy stealth. No one can catch you if there's no one left alive to see what you did. That's heavy stealth.
So to kill everybody. If you kill everybody, you can just walk away at that point.
Ain't nobody there to catch you. Ain't no alarms to trip. Heavy stealth.
As an Assassin's Creed fan, I don't know if I would call that being an assassin, but it definitely gets the job done.
Well, pretty much that's what you do in the last couple games, because there's no stealth going on. But let's talk about a few things we encountered in Beantown at PAX. What was one of the favorite things you saw out on the floor?
First off, thank you to Boston for having us. Boston has gotten a bad rep, and we've been there for, I think it's our fifth year or so, or third year going there, and we had love every time. I mean, we had one. I had an incident once. With one of Boston's finest, but other than that, I have received nothing but love out there in Boston. So, you know, shout out to Boston for that.
I think that's just because we are catching Boston when there's no baseball games on.
I mean,
there's no baseball, there's no hockey while we're there. We're catching them off guard.
Right. But it was a lot of games there, and so we don't have no embargo, so we can talk about anything that we want. So there's a lot of games there, a lot of games that's coming that y'all are really, really, really gonna like. Me and Salty Truth ran into what was it?
We were at you mean over at Focus Games?
Not Focus, but Focus too, but
Or are you talking about Gollum?
I want to talk about Gollum or Gollum. I pronounce it Gollum. But no, the VR game.
Peaky Blinders.
Peaky Blinders, the VR game. If you're a Peaky Blinders fan, imagine joining the crew.
And they bought, and they're bringing back everybody from the show. So you don't have to worry about any weird knockoff voice pretenders. No, it's going to be actually Gilliam and the rest of the cast. Which is always a bonus.
It's basically Mafia VR, but Pinky Blinders Rex. So if that sounds interesting to you, and it sounds interesting to me, and it's amazing, and if you're a VR fan, you're going to love it. So definitely keep your eyes out for that one. I don't know if they post a release date. I had a quick little interview with one of the Peaky Blinders, so that should be up soon. And I think she said released it on there, but of course they. But yeah, that was one of the big games I was like super excited for when we came across that. Me and Corey were walking the floor, and we just stopped like, is that Peaky Blinders VR?
Right. Now, there was one game on the floor I looked at for a while, but eventually I actually got a chance to play. I got a chance to play Gollum.
Did you play Gollum?
And, yeah. Gollum. I actually had a chance to play it.
Bastard.
I don't think this is going to be it.
Really?
Yeah.
It sounds, to me, just because of who it is, it sounds like a game that no one asked for.
Yes, that's one of the biggest things for me, because I was playing it.
I wanted to play Golem so bad, man, but the lines are too long, and I ain't getting no press play.
I was playing it.
To be honest, that feels like a lot of things that come out as of late between like movies and TV shows and games. Just like it's a lot of like no one asking for these things. No one in the community asking for these things, but y'all decided let's.
Not only that, but this was the developer's first time working in 3D.
How'd you like it?
The controls are not that great. Definitely need some fine tuning. The survival aspect is cool. It's just one of those things where I'm like, this is fun, but who, like, where'd this, like, who thought this up?
I see Gollum with hair, like a full head of hair, and all I can think of is, where are you? And I'm so, like, that's all I think of. And you, to be sure, you can't tell me
you nowhere.
You can't tell me he don't look like an emo.
No, he looks like a crackhead. He looks like Kensington. He looks like Kensington's finest.
That proud work y'all do over at K&A. Keep leaning. Keep leaning on zombies. Keep leaning on.
Yeah, I went over there to play Golem. And it talked to the developer, right? So me and the mama over there, I like, hey, y'all got any press play? Right? And like, no. I like, all right, is the developer here? She's like, no. Meanwhile, the developer is standing right next to me. So the, you know, I'm not gonna, no, Dalek was, you know, the joke for that. But
so they was just playing stupid or what?
They're playing stupid. And then,
playing stupid.
And then when she walked off to go get another developer for another game, I started talking to the developer, and he told me, "Yeah, I'm the developer for Golem." I said, "Oh, do you have time to talk?" He said, "I would love to, but I have an interview right now." That's all she had to say to me. All right, cool. I understand. Because as me and Lamont was walking off, his interview was right behind us. It was in the press court, and it was right there. We didn't come talk to him. I understand that.
Something I've noticed walking around at PAX, like a lot of the people at their booths, at different booths, is their first experience. Seems like it's their first experience working at this type of situation.
I agree. I definitely experienced that a lot. Yeah.
Overall. And it's just like there's a lot of sitting down and talking to your team that should have been done for a lot of these different companies, because it was like that for even some of the bigger brands.
Right.
Yeah, definitely.
Like Corsair had like, a bunch of people that didn't know what the fuck they were doing.
Like, so, I was personally pissed with I'll say it now. I was personally pissed with the guy over at Dead Rising 2.
Right.
From over there.
By the way, I did get a chance to play it for 10 minutes.
Okay, cool.
I forgot the person's name who let me grab the sticks. Thank you so much. I appreciate you very much. Damn it. I hope this video finds you. Hit me up in the comment section, okay? Seriously. Because they saw me, they overheard me, and they were like, hey, man, come on. So that I appreciate that. Dead Rising 2 is a fun game. I'm not sure if it's worth the wait because I only had a finite amount of time with it.
Right.
But for what it had, it was good. Now, the big shocker, no pun intended, was actually the System Shock remake booth.
Okay.
Now, System Shock, this is for the older heads. System Shock walked so BioShock could run.
For those and who don't know, what is System Shock?
System Shock was a sci-fi horror first-person game from the late 90s. Okay. It was praised for its graphic capabilities at the time, which of course by now looks super ancient. But for the time, it was like the shit. Kind of like how Eternal Darkness was in the very first one. Like, listen, it doesn't look like much, but this is great. Kids today demanding 60 frames per second. We were happy just to get 30.
Man, we was happy with anything.
It sounded like you settled.
No, limited technology, my G. Stop.
Settling is all I'm hearing.
All right, but what about any bangers? Did y'all come across any games that y'all are excited to see? Hold on, before y'all go, let me just say, most of the games we talk about, even if the gameplay wasn't great, majority of these games are not finished. They are just bringing them out here to gain hype for the games as they will be coming out. So, if we're trashing a game, just know the game is not finished. And hopefully, when it drops, it'll be a much more polished version. But as we know, as gamers, it doesn't always happen. So, you know, put that disclaimer out there.
Now, the game's there, at least for me, it's a bit weird and upsetting because the last time we went to PAX, there was a shit ton of games there that I wanted to play, that I wanted to try out, and I was excited for it coming out. But this time going to PAX, there wasn't really a lot of games that I wanted to play there. Everything I want to play, I have. And anything that's coming out that I want to play is already on lock. Right. There wasn't too much there that I could have been excited about. But I was there, like, excited for the experience of being there. None of the games, like, piqued my fancy. It's not like it was when I ran across Splitgate.
You ran across Splitgate. You fell in love.
I fell in love.
And Splitgate fell in love with you, too.
And I immediately made everybody there at the booth disgusted with me. I was like, oh, look at all you. Look at all you mouse and keyboard users. Alright, gentlemen, let's have fun. Shoddy Snipers will, to this day, still my favorite fucking game mode.
To this day!
The option of just lining up a shot, these two motherfuckers fighting, pow! Hear fucking footsteps come up, shit.
One game that definitely surprised me, the Toxic Crusaders.
I could not find a booth. That was one of the few games I was actually looking forward to at least watching.
It was
the Corsair booth.
Mm-hmm.
I probably walked right around it because I was at the Corsair booth looking at the new systems they had coming out.
It was made in the same arcade beat 'em up style as the Ninja Turtles game that's available now. And it was fun. It was fantastic. It was a very unexpected surprise because it's more remnant of the ill-fated cartoon than from the original movie it was based off of, the Toxic Avenger. It was just it was very, very unexpected. So, but I do look forward to it coming out.
Every now, year, oh, every year we get a vintage or old school game remake. Like last year, I think they were showing off Shaq Fu. That it didn't make it out there, but that's one of the games that they had told it that was coming. But for whatever reason, it didn't make it.
No, they made it. It was still horrible.
I'm talking about the booth. The booth didn't show up last year.
Oh, yeah, that's okay.
Yeah, Shaq Fu was one of my favorite games, man. Growing up, and Toxic Crusaders. I was so hyped when I see Toxic Crusaders showing up. I'm like, oh. It brings me back to my childhood with that.
I like Shaq Fu as a child because I didn't have much options in games. So it was either play that game or pick up a book.
Right.
When I'm thinking about games of childhood, I wouldn't mind seeing, even though I never played it when I was a kid. Can we get a Turok remaster?
Turok for Nintendo Wii?
Turok on Switch?
Turok on Switch.
I don't know,
man. I hated that game as a child, but it's one of the few games that I can remember the name of back then.
I don't know, man. You're asking a lot there.
I mean, everybody bringing back shit. It's the decade of nostalgia, apparently.
Yeah, I bet you Capcom's not even going to go ahead and do Resident Evil 5. They're going to go and bring back Dino Crisis.
Speaking of Dino Crisis, y'all see that crazy weird ass game that they had there where you was fighting like 1,000 dinosaurs at once?
Yeah, Exo Primal.
Yes, yep.
Yeah, I've already got a pre set up to download on the Xbox. It's gonna be a Game Pass.
Can I ask why?
It looks very absurd, and I'm just very like, absurd. You know what? I don't have to pay for it, so yeah, I'll give it a shot.
It's like Dynasty Warriors. It looks insane. You find thousands of dinosaurs at once.
More like Earth Defense Force.
Yeah, meet Dynasty Warriors.
Yeah, because I remember that game series shooting nothing but bugs as far as the eye could fucking see.
Shout out to Earth Defense Force. So last time we had Vincent Pack, I was over at Earth Defense Force talking to one of the developers, right? And they had a ball pit. And then you had to like scramble through the ball pit and pick up a prize and you win something. And I ended up in the ball pit and I could not get off the ball pit. The two models they had there had to help me out the ball pit, and my pants fell down.
Jesus.
Flashing everybody there at PAX that is happy to walk in.
We would like to thank the people at Penny Arcade to continue allowing us to show up.
Thank you to the soldiers over at Dino Crisis for helping.
My mind is on a nostalgia trip at the moment, and I don't know why I thought of, but I now really want a Starship Trooper horror game. That in like a Dead Space format.
A Starship Trooper horror game?
That could work. Especially with VR.
It's not bad.
I don't know why that popped into my head. Like, I wouldn't mind playing that.
That will work. VR game.
You went in there with your squad. Your squadron got fucking snatched up. Now you got to finish this mission alone. The VR, VR horror scenario. You get no backup until the mission is done.
Mm-hmm. Shout out to Queen Nick, who's not on the podcast, but she was there with us this weekend, in fact. And she had a ball playing a game for a lot of me. I cannot remember. But that interview and that gameplay should also be up coming up soon on our YouTube and the channels. So look out for that as well. Now, what are you saying, Corey?
Now, there was one game I kind of had my eyeball on, but sadly, it wasn't even there. Bomb Rush Cyberpunk, which is supposed to be like a spiritual successor to Jetgun Radio.
Oh, okay.
Seeing a trailer for this thing 2 years ago, I've seen some more stuff since, but I was hoping maybe they would be at PAX, but they weren't. But they did just recently do a video at the GDC. That's the Game Developers Convention, which of course has no press on the floor.
Yeah, and if it do, I think it's like no, there's no press at the GDC.
Yep, there's no press.
No press at GDC. It's only for developers.
Yeah, so either it was the convention or they were just showing their demo for the GD.
That? Hold on.
Right.
What do you got?
She's there.
Oh!
What up, little
I
niggas?
Spoke her name.
Wow, we spoke you up.
Spoke her name.
Come up appearing like Beetlejuice and shit.
Y'all, everybody, Queen Neek has just entered the room.
What's going on, y'all? How's everybody doing?
Good, good. We're just talking about PAX. I was talking about what game I was expecting to see there that I didn't. But please come in. Tell what did you play?
I played Whitethorn's Mythbreakers, I believe. Ambrosia Island.
Yeah.
That was
that's what it was.
Yep, that was pretty good. I definitely like the gameplay from that. I like the seamless camera switching, and we also would like to give them a shout out, I believe, the developer Alex, whom we will be reaching out to have their own special episode as well to explain more about this game in particular. It is in a low action RPG. You know, it's more for your casual gamers, more for those who like to do, you know, little small stuff and whatnot. You're collecting coins, you're talking to people, you're building relationships, you're learning things about the gods or whatnot. Because remember, when you crash land on this island, they don't know who they are. And so, with that, you're talking to them, you're spending time with them and building those relationships and whatnot, Nick, helping them kind of sort of remember
might be having
who they once were.
Might be tied up on her end.
Uh-oh. But yeah, so PAX, like, they are still holding it down. If you still on the fence to ever going to a PAX conference, don't. It was jam packed. People were like happy to come out there. It's a ton of games. It's a game for every gamer out there. And
it was also
Like the tech that was there for gamers was really interesting. They had a PC build that was like a Nezuko build, and there was also a Apex Legends PC build as well. That was pretty awesome to check out as well. Like they had a lot of really cool tech, especially Sub2R. Sub2R has some really cool gaming glasses in which, you know, one pair of the glasses can keep you awake, you know, keep you alert, playing games, tournaments or whatever. And then the other pair actually you put on for long-term usage and whatnot, in order to cool down, like for your cool down period when you're trying to wind down for the night and whatnot. So
okay,
you can do that and you know, watch that, like, you know, use the glasses as
for every day, right?
Yeah, well technically you can use both every day. It's just the only drawback from it is that you may mess up your circadian rhythm because of the ones that don't block blue light. The ones that block blue light keep you awake. Don't keep you awake. They actually put you to sleep because it activates the melatonin in your brain. So yeah. But it the other pair doesn't block the, like, you know, blocks the blue light and whatnot, so you can go to sleep. But yeah.
But Queen Neek brings up a great point. There was a lot of PC builds and stuff on the floor. That was very new.
Yeah, you know why people are now inside. A lot of people are starting to become streamers now, and streaming has become a very lucrative side of the business. A lot of people used to look at people who did that back in the day like they were wasting away their life, but now you can play video games for the rest of your life if you really want to. If you play your cards right and you market yourself well, you can definitely eat off of that and not have to work a regular job if you're diligent enough. Not to mention the pandemic. Because of the pandemic, everybody had to stay inside. So because everybody had to stay inside.
But I mean,
you know,
at the last PAX we went to, they literally had whole sections dedicated to the Twitch stream. They had a whole section for Twitch streamers. It was a whole one for the one that Microsoft had. That awkward ass Facebook gaming.
It's because somebody's pre-built like PC companies are actually like getting their spots now. Like getting spots to actually show up at PAX.
Right.
Because they know, people buy shit off their site all the time, but they can show off what they got. Because there was, like she said, there was a Nezuko one, and then there was an Apex one, and then there was another one. I forget the name of them. But not only did they build the PC for you, it came painted with a custom design. I think I got some shots of one of them actually painting a design for it to be like a one of a kind design for it to be released and sold.
Yeah, hey, PC builds have gotten so intricate over these last couple of years.
Is this something you're going to look at?
That's because people are building more PCs. Number one, because they realize they can make a lot of passive income by buying out very expensive GPUs and using it for Bitcoin mining and any other type of data mining.
They're not buying the PCs.
No, they're not buying the PCs. Granted, I'm talking about the GPUs though, like the parts.
The GPUs.
They're driving up the prices for the parts. So and then everybody wants to build a PC now also. So you know what I mean? Right. All of those things.
Y'all gotta see.
Drives up the supply.
But honestly, as of like,
yeah, my shit is late.
As of like last year and a half, prices for all those stuff have come down because they've specifically brought out some companies specifically brought out mining cards just for that, so they would leave all the other cards alone.
Yeah, because they like the worst thing that happened to Bitcoin was it or cryptocurrency was it going mainstream. Good lord.
Now everybody a Forex expert and a Bitcoin expert.
Yeah, okay.
Everybody.
Uh-huh. Everybody, FTX man. What? FTX what? Tom Brady exactly. Lost all his money? What?
So Nico, did you have a favorite pack?
Favorite game?
Yeah.
If I had to choose, I probably would choose the Mythbreakers Ambrosia Island, because that was a lot of fun.
It looked fun.
Remember that big ass robot?
Yo, that was pretty cool. That better robot was super cool.
Like, this guy had like a robot suit that was like, what, 10, 11 feet tall?
Shout out to the cosplayers who show up at every convention.
I felt small. I looked small.
It was like 10 feet.
Yeah, he was looking up at it like it was his big brother. He was like, Papa. You know? Oh, yeah. It's funny as hell.
The last time I felt that small, I was in high school when I met Shaq.
Wow.
Right. Yeah, shout out to the cosplayers who show up at every convention.
And the cosplayers were definitely in full effect. Shout out to Damian DeLeon. He was working the Cult of the Lamb booth. He was also featured in our third magazine as our cosplayer interview.
Shout out to,
he was there
Tom to War, I think, or Todd of War. He was the Arizona guy. He was the Arizona Grandmaster.
Yeah.
Shout out to that guy.
He's definitely going to put his picture up.
Yes.
Yeah, his Arizona costume was the truth.
That was pretty lit. Like it wasn't even a video game character, but I wasn't mad at it.
And of course, there was still the sacred section of tabletop stuff. Shout out to Free League Gaming. They actually gave me a copy of Mjorkborg, tabletop game. And of course, shout out to Level Up Dice. That crazy Australian is always at it, trying to innovate the world of dice.
And shout out to Sarkis of Sub2R as well. And also the fellas over at, is it Valiant Pillows or is it Valiant?
Uh-huh.
Valiant Pillows, right? For the gaming pillows. I can't remember everybody's name.
Oh, you know, gaming pillows.
But yeah, those gaming pillows were
the husky ass pillows.
Yeah, definitely, you know, 9 out of 10 would recommend.
The one thing I didn't expect there was Focus Games, and I played the Warhammer 40K Bolt Gun.
Yeah.
Which was like a... It was like a 32... It was like a 32-bit Doom-style game, but made today. And it was like fast-paced, intense, and... Like I'm sitting there, I'm just like, yo, I feel like I'm young again playing Doom.
Yo, watching you play that remind me of Doom. And like this,
because that's exactly what it felt like.
A Doom game. It's straight up a Doom game.
But it was Warhammer.
I straight up punk.
Spoke to the developer. He's actually on our YouTube page now. He fantastic gentleman, and he's a guy who's been in love with Warhammer for so long that the fact that he got to develop a Warhammer game just made it all come back around for him. So it's nice to see people work on their passions.
And Bolt Gun is available now.
Yes, it is. And 30XX, which is kind of it's kind of like a Mario Maker, but it's Mega Man.
Oh, right.
Yeah. It was really fun. It could actually go two people playing at the same time, and with their community, like the levels just really expand. And that game right now is just on Steam, but it's supposed to transition over to consoles soon too. So that is going to be something.
We're running out of time.
Let's
wrap this up. Engine, any parting words?
I had fun. Everything looked nice and shiny, and hopefully next year when I go back, I'll be able to snag me a piece of it. What's my parting words?
Enjoying the Demon Army.
Enjoying the Demon Army.
Party 2.
first and foremost, we want to thank you guys for tuning in today to the Marry Me Junkies podcast. Always thankful for you guys tuning in. And a few folks out there watching us on YouTube, we want to thank you as well. We want to hope that you're subscribed. And if you're not subscribed, hey, what's up with that? Where's the love? Hit the subscribe button. Leave some comments. We want to know what you think. What'd you feel? How'd you feel about today's show? Well, we see it and we try and respond to when we can.
Queen,
always see you around.
Yeah.
Any parting words?
Say that one more time.
I said, any parting words? You got anything going on?
I'm working on a few things, you know, but I don't want to talk too soon. But definitely, if you want to follow my shenanigans and adventures, definitely follow all my socials, queennick.art, on just about everything. And oh my God, there's this adorable Pomeranian over here that you guys should see. But yeah. Anyway, sorry, I had a squirrel moment. My bad. But yeah, just be sure to.
I
really did. But be sure to like, follow, subscribe to all of AmeriMay Media's stuff. Hit that bell to see what the next time we upload. Take care of yourselves and each other.
And I am Tommy Boss. X was amazing. We'll see y'all. Huh? We'll see y'all at Otakon or BlurCon next time we be out there. That being said, y'all be easy out there. Go play some games.
Yeah. AmeriMay.